This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz
and Moose. Hey. Certainly is a Thanksgiving Eve edition of Taz and the Moose as we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Tom and Pete across the way. Bogus. Sitting in for the vacationing Taz with me. 1 hour down, two to play with. He's also got updates. And we spent a lot of the first hour on college football. The latest playoff rankings that came out last night. And no change. With it being Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Michigan. It is rivalry week in college football. So that is a good time of year. I mean, you never know what could transpire and upsets happening across the college football landscape. But with a little college football in the rearview mirror, Andrew, let's look ahead to the National Football League as tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and we've got a great BCS coming your way here in a little bit. But you have the triple header, and it used to just be a double dip, early, late, and then a mid-afternoon game leading into the evening. Now, you know, the National Football League a number of years ago went into the triple header. I think it's an intriguing trio of games tomorrow, with Chicago and Detroit getting us going at 12:30. Then you have Dallas and Washington in Big D, and Atlanta and New Orleans down in the Bayou. And you know, as you look at the three matchups, I think for Chicago at 7-3, and the Lions always show up and play for the most part on Thanksgiving. But as we discussed on Monday, Andrew, I think the Bears are the team that a lot of people forget about in the NFC and the National Football League. And I get now you're looking at Trubisky dealing with that shoulder injury, and they're hopeful that he can play and believe that he could still go out there and play tomorrow. That's fine. That's a little concerning, a shoulder injury that he suffered in the fourth quarter of this past Sunday, the past Week 11 matchup and their victory over the Minnesota Vikings. If Trubisky's healthy, with that defense and Khalil Mack being able to get after it, if Trubisky's able to give it a go, I just look at a Lion team that held on for dear life against Carolina, a Bears team that nobody really wants to respect all that much because they don't necessarily believe. And I think the Chicago week in and week out continues to prove people wrong.
Yeah, and this is kind of what Thanksgiving is for, right? I mean, you have the stage to yourself, you've got extra eyes on you, you got a chance here to end some of those doubts or to, you know, further strengthen other people's confidence in you right now. Here, though, is the underbelly, the ugly side of Thursday games, whether they're Thanksgiving or not. You know, I wonder if Trubisky would be okay for Sunday, but he's not okay for Thursday.
That's a good point.
And him not being out there, obviously, it changes this game completely.
Well, it does.
And for them, every game means so much now in the division, in seeding, in home field. You know, I would not like for them to play a game because it's on Thursday without their starting QB and then maybe lose that game and then maybe have it affect them when we get through week 17.
Well, and the Bears are cautiously optimistic that Trubisky can give it a go tomorrow in Detroit against the Lions. We'll see if that's the case. And sometimes you get a little bit of gamesmanship with the severity of the injury, even though he is on the injury report. He is banged up. You don't know exactly though the severity of it until we get closer and closer to game time. Now, with all that out there, I look at this Chicago team. What bothers me is the National Football League. You cannot have, and I know there are scheduling snafus throughout, you cannot have the Bears playing on Sunday night. And I know it's not a lot of travel. I get they were home against Minnesota. But then you can't have them playing Sunday night and then rolling right back and playing the early game on Thursday.
No.
That's unfair.
No.
I mean, you want to talk about player safety. You want to look at the players in mind. We care about the players. It's players, players, players. And the NFL owners and Goodell will continue to, we care about player safety. How exactly do you care about player safety when you're doing that? They're playing the night game on a Sunday night and then rolling right back and playing 12:30 on a Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, no, they don't care. I mean, which is why it was relatively shocking that they didn't play in Mexico City. I mean, it must have been that bad.
Oh, it was that bad.
I mean, we saw the pictures, but I can't imagine what it looked like on the field actually walking that turf that they went to the great extent of actually not playing that game in Mexico City because usually the dollar prevails. And you're right. I mean, Sunday night into Thursday, sure, it's a division opponent, so you're relatively familiar with them. But, you know, part the entire argument about or against Thursday night football is that the build from Sunday to Sunday is legitimate, and making teams play on Thursday is a huge change in your plan and in your body and in your recovery. And that, to me, has always been the thing that I like the least about this setup, is that I don't want to watch games where teams are not physically right because it's so early in the week. Like, that, it's just, to me, a non-starter. But here come the games. We got to pay attention, and we got to break them down and try and figure out what's going
to
happen.
I like having football on Thanksgiving. I do. But I also think you have to make sure that you're doing whatever you can do to maximize the rest of the players. You can't have them play late on Sunday, well into the night, almost into Monday morning, and then have them rolling on back on Thursday afternoon. You know, Ray Lucas, who I do some work with, and a great guy.
Was he a Giant?
No, former Jet.
Oh, good curveball.
Right, yes, former Patriot, former Rutgers Scarlet Knight. But, you know, I know Ray well. He's a friend of mine. And he used to say when he was playing, and he was a quarterback, mind you, and he was a running quarterback, so he did take a lot of hits. He used to tell me that when he during his playing days, Bogish, his body would probably not feel right until Friday morning after playing on Sunday.
Right. And he's a quarterback. Right.
Imagine what offensive and defensive linemen are feeling like getting set to play tomorrow afternoon after having played on Sunday.
And here we go
They're
again.
Taking hits.
Right.
Play. However, you know, 65 offensive plays, 65 defensive plays a game, you're taking those hits every single time.
And then you get to the specifics in this matchup of Trubisky. And obviously, like any other team, the Bears need their starting quarterback out
there.
They do. And he might, and I don't, and I'm just guessing, I might be wrong. He might be in doubt if this game was on Sunday or even Monday night, but he's certainly in more doubt because it's tomorrow.
And then you get to Dallas, and the Cowboys are getting set to entertain the Washington Redskins in what is one of the great rivalries in the National Football League. Two teams that, and two programs that really can't stand one another. And the Cowboys, everything has seemed to have turned a corner since that Titan loss.
Isn't it amazing?
It's crazy. 28-14, we sat here on that Tuesday morning. And we had Cowboy fans calling up, putting the last shovel of dirt on Garrett as a head coach. Cowboy fans calling up, concerned about the future of Dak Prescott at quarterback. And now they've won two in a row. They're 5-5. They're the betting favorite to win the NFC East. And they entertain the Washington Redskins, who are now without their starting quarterback, Alex Smith, and are rolling out there with Colt McCoy, their backup.
Although I would argue, Moose, that this might be the best thing to happen if you don't like the Cowboys, whether you're a Washington fan, a Giant fan, an Eagles fan right within this division, or you just don't like the Cowboys. We know they're not good, but let them rally. Let them win this watered-down, bogus, falling-apart NFC East this year. Let them lose their first playoff game, but I think winning the division will be enough to keep Jason Garrett as their head coach, and then the cycle repeats itself again next year, and they're not as dangerous as they should be.
You know, is Jason Garrett the 2018 edition of Jeff Fisher? He just does enough to keep his job?
Yeah.
He's probably a better coach than Fisher.
Well, I mean, Fisher had higher-end success. I mean, it was a
he
long...
Did.
It was early on.
Came with it. I mean, Dyson makes it to the end zone, doesn't get tackled by Robert Jones.
Right, he's
Titans
a Super Bowl
win that
champ.
Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Right.
So I don't know about better coach. Now, what Jason Garrett has done, either directly on purpose or indirectly, I mean, does an owner love a head coach more than Jerry loves Jason Garrett?
No, he loves him. Because Garrett allows Jerry Jones to be Jerry Jones.
That's
and
amazing.
Do what he wants to do running the organization. He's the owner. It doesn't butt head with him. It doesn't matter of ego. And Jason Garrett stays out of the way and keeps his head down. And I look at this matchup, and the spread is 7.5, and I think everything's saying, well, you know, how do you not take the Redskins? It's 7.5 points. It was a field goal game. There's not that great of a drop-off between Colt McCoy and Alex Smith at the quarterback spot. Jay Gruden said even as much. I'd be a little leery. I think
imagine
this,
if he didn't.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, we are in trouble.
Right, and I love the message. Yeah, exactly right. I love the message from Colt McCoy
after
the game.
You guys aren't at practice.
I am. You guys, we are in good hands with me at quarterback. I like that confidence from Colt McCoy. However, they're going into against a Cowboy team defensively bogus. They've turned a corner. Van Der Esch is going to be a huge star in this league.
This is almost the NFC title game because I got nothing for the Eagles. The Giants are terrible. And if the Cowboys can send a message here quickly to Washington, the quick turnaround from the Alex Smith injury, and they're feeling good about winning in Atlanta, the Cowboys kind of take control of this division with a win tomorrow. Now, I don't trust them to get it and hold on to it, uncontested the rest of the way. But this division is wide open, and the Cowboys, to me, have to be the pick. I don't know how, because it's not just Alex Smith either. Even before his
injury. All the other injuries along the offensive line.
Right, exactly. So this is now an even more so compromised Washington team. This should kind of be relatively easy for the Cowboys. They're not going to make it easy, but they can take a step towards it with a big effort tomorrow.
Here is Jay Gruden on his quarterback, Colt McCoy.
I've seen him out here. I know nobody else has. I probably just remember him playing at Cleveland, maybe a little preseason, a little bit his first year here. But I've seen him progress as a player, as a person throughout his stint here. But now it's a matter of live reps. He hasn't taken a lot. So, last week was the first time he's taken them since preseason.
No, he hasn't, but he's played in the NFL before, and there have been successes and obviously failures. How about Jason Garrett? He's happy where his young quarterback, Dak Prescott, is.
If you don't want the ball, you're in the wrong profession. You're playing the wrong position. Every quarterback wants to be in that situation. It's the stuff you dream about since you've been on the playground when you're 8 years old, first learning how to play the game. So Dak certainly loves to be in those situations. He handles them well. He's got great poise and composure.
Yeah, and you get to the night game in terms of the Saints and the Falcons down in New Orleans, and sometimes football and sports can be a little cruel because over the last year and a half, I think we've seen the window kind of close on the Atlanta Falcons, whether it be injuries, whether it be poor coaching by Dan Quinn. They go on the road down in New Orleans, and it's more of a case of playing to how brilliant the Saints are right now as they've won 9 straight games. They dismantled the Philadelphia Eagles last week 48-7. They put 40-plus points up on the road against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Atlanta Falcons are a 13-point underdog on the road down in New Orleans, and that's an offense with Tevin Coleman, Matt Ryan, Mohamed Sanu, Julio Jones, and they're a 13-point underdog. But it's a Falcon team that I thought was going to have a bounce-back year this year. They haven't. They've been besieged by injuries. And they really have not played up to expectations. And they come off a brutal loss at home against the Dallas Cowboys. And now they go down into New Orleans. The Saints can't stand the Falcons. And if you thought the Saints ran it up on Philadelphia or enjoyed beating up on Cincinnati, if this Saints team is able to run up the score on Atlanta, they'd love nothing better.
Moose, the Falcons are, as you know well, they are a bird. I wonder if they'll make an appearance in my pick segment coming up here later on in the show. But
that's a tease.
We spent a lot of time on the Eagles, on what the Vikings aren't right now, but this Falcon decline, and yeah, they've had some real injuries. There's no doubt about that. But, up until the last couple of weeks, their inability to get a touchdown for Julio Jones, all their other problems. I'm with you. I don't know where it starts, if it's the GM, if it's the head coach, but it's overhaul time in Atlanta because things are just broken.
And
right
to have
now.
That 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl, and that is one that Matt Ryan is going to think about unless he gets back there and wins it. And you don't see that right now, and if that happened anytime soon. For Matt Ryan, that's one that's going to haunt him for the rest of his life.
And I know that, the number's got to be the number because it can't be too easy of a bet. But, the line for this game could be infinity. They're not winning tomorrow.
They're not winning.
There's zero chance of them winning tomorrow.
No, they've got no shot. Here is Drew Brees saying that his team, they've got even another level to get to.
We're not looking too far ahead. I mean, we're so singularly focused right now just because we don't feel like we put our best out there yet, you're always striving for that perfect game. I don't think you ever find it, but it's just that it's that striving for it that allows you to take one, put one foot in front of the other and continue to, stack the bricks and build what you want to build.
Yeah, that's
Who's
why his teammates love
things?
Him. I don't know. Some guy in the background.
Bugs
maybe,
flying around or something?
I don't know.
What's
maybe moving
on?
Something in his locker. But that's why you love Brees and the leadership, not getting too far ahead in front of yourself and sending the right message to his team. How about for Julio Jones, who finally got into the end zone a couple weeks back against the Washington Redskins? Here's Julio saying that this team will respond after a bad loss.
We got to stay aggressive in everything we do. We got to believe in ourselves, and you know, it started yesterday. You know, the way we came in here, we got to get this bad taste out of our mouth. So we got to come here. We got to keep working. Preparation is key for us.
So those are your triple header tomorrow for Thanksgiving as you enjoy turkey and all the fixings. We got a special BCS coming your way next. But a couple other things with the National Football League we want to hit upon. Number one, Malcolm Jenkins had some things to say about his teammates. Here is Jenkins, the talented safety, pro bowler, leader for that Philadelphia defense, talking about how his team played down in New Orleans.
It was just embarrassing, you know, quite frankly. It was one of those things that I didn't feel like as a team we had a lot of fight. I'd rather get thrown out of a game than just lay down and take it. And, you know, it was a ton of frustrations. One being, you know, obviously me going back to New Orleans, that's a game that meant a lot to me. But just the demeanor of the team really bothered me. And then just the frustration of having guys that you work hard with and spend a lot of time with get injured. It's just a rough day overall, but you know, at this point in time, we need to figure out some things about ourselves.
Well, and that is what you would define, not the injuries, as a Super Bowl hangover. Not that kind of a loss specifically, Andrew, but the desire and the hunger after winning that championship. That's why it's so difficult to repeat, because to get to that drive and that point, after all the celebrations and the parties down in Philadelphia and everyone telling you how great you are and the historical ramifications for the city, you're looking at a Philadelphia team that in a lot of ways, you know, does not play, especially on defense. And I know they've been hit by injuries in that defensive secondary. Wentz doesn't look the same coming off the torn ACL. The offensive line has been banged up. They don't run it as well without Jay Ajayi. And you look at defensively, they don't get after the quarterback the same way they did a year ago.
Well, and don't forget, too, part of the pro-Eagles argument going through the summer and coming into the new season was that they had so many injuries last year, led by Wentz, that they were coming back in ways almost like a new team. This is not just flipping the page, same roster, same scheme, everything into the new year. Like, this was like half of a new team with all of the guys coming back from being hurt last year, that somehow would kind of negate whatever hangover would exist. But the hangover's there, and it's now November 21st. You know, I could see September being sketchy, but at some point you take a smack in the mouth and you wake up and you get going in the right direction again. But there's been no wake-up call. There's been no consistency in responding to a series of wake-up calls here. And now they're basically, to me, just dead in the water. And I'd be surprised if there was, I think that, you know, I've told you since Monday, I still have hope for a Viking rally. I don't have that same thing for the Eagles.
I agree with you. And at one point in time, I think that 17-0 lead fourth quarter against the Carolina Panthers at home, where Carolina then comes back and wins that game 21-17.
Yeah.
I think you're going to look back on that game as being a big-time turning point, because I thought Philadelphia had turned a corner in that game. For three quarters, they did. They end up losing that game. One thing I will say, last guy, and we all live locally here in the tri-state area, and Darrell Revis is now doing some work, I guess, as a sports tout. And he was on local radio, WFAN, in New York yesterday. And looking back on Todd Bowles and his coaching career out in Buffalo, when they took on the Buffalo Bills week 17, 2015, saying that the team was ill-prepared. I will say this, Andrew, and I think Bowles is going to get fired. I'm not going to defend Bowles, that he's done a fantastic job as Jet head coach. The last guy that I want to hear criticizing Todd Bowles and whether or not his team was prepared going back to 2015 right now is Darrell Revis, a guy that did a brilliant job of being about himself. That's fine. A guy that's going to be a Hall of Famer. At one point in time, one of the great cover corners that this sport has ever seen, especially in today's day and age of how limited you can be with your hands and physically as a cornerback. That showed you just how special of a player he was. Darrell Revis, it was a money grant. He got lit up like a Christmas tree by Sammy Watkins in that game. At the end of his career, didn't want to tackle anybody. That's why they talked about potentially moving him to safety. You get these stories, regardless of marketplace, throughout the course of the country, especially when you have a coach that's on his last lifeline. And it is an uphill battle for Todd Bowles to remain as Jet head coach. I think he's probably going to get fired after this season, as do most people. I do not need to hear Darrell Revis jumping on the bandwagon.
No, the message might be legit and real and needed to just maybe heard by or said by somebody else. Like I'll listen to Jamal Adams tell me about what's different from last year to this year. I don't need to hear from Darrelle Revis.
But here's the other thing. Have a little loyalty.
Yeah.
Todd Bowles defended him.
Right.
With every single time he was getting burnt left and right. He never threw him under the bus. Defended him all the time. And now you have Darrelle Revis coming on the airwaves in New York, 50,000 clear channel watts, and say that the team was not prepared in Buffalo. What about Fitzpatrick throwing three picks in that game? You get to a point here where you look at that scenario. Darrelle Revis, you message it. It's not the message. It's the messenger.
Yeah.
I get that maybe that team was not firing on all cylinders. Maybe it could have been a little bit better prepared. They did not play well. They lost. Everyone expected them to win that game. Darrelle Revis cannot be delivering that message.
No. On a random Tuesday as well, it's kind of odd.
Who does he like this weekend, by the way?
I don't know, but I believe he was pushing some kind of...
Yeah, he's a tout.
Right?
Yeah.
Is he guaranteeing wins now?
No, I don't know.
Call an 800 number?
72%. He's Tout Island. 855-212-4227. We got a special Thanksgiving edition of BCS coming your way next. It's Melusis. It's Bogish. Taz and the Moose here on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We'll get to a holiday edition, Thanksgiving edition of BCS here momentarily. Bogish has got another update. Take it away, Andrew.
Moose, thank you as always. This update is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. At this pace, UCF will have a semifinal spot by sometime in February. The Knights inching further up the college football playoff rankings last night, going from 11th to 9th after taking care of Cincinnati last weekend. Number 9 is the best ranking for a Group of 5 school in the short history of this list. UCF jumping Ohio State, who barely beat Maryland Saturday. Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, Notre Dame remain the semifinals if the season was over right now. Well, meanwhile, we are down to 25 semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Tony Gonzalez, Champ Bailey, and Ed Reed make the cut in their first year of eligibility. Zach Thomas and Tom Flores get this far for the first time ever. The list cut to 15 in January, then the enshrinees picked Super Bowl week. As for current players, Ryan Tannehill gets back under center for the Dolphins this weekend, and the Broncos have released Pac-Man Jones. High drama last night for the Raptors and Magic in Orlando.
Lowry getting set to inbound. Finding Danny Green open near side. Short jumper near the baseline. Goes! Danny Green with half a second remaining. The Magic inbound. And this ball game's over as Vucevic misses and the Raptors steal the victory in the Magic Kingdom.
93-91 the final on Raptors Radio. The Wizards snapped the Clippers' 5-game winning streak, 125-118, 30 points and 8 assists for John Wall. C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard combined for 60 as the Blazers sent the Knicks to their 6th straight loss, 118-114 at MSG. And the Nets beat the Heat in Miami 104-92. The Warriors have ruled out Steph Curry and his groin strain for at least 3 more games. Draymond Green's out again tonight against the Thunder because of his toe injury. Duke and Gonzaga will meet for the Maui title later today. The top-ranked Blue Devils fought off Auburn last night 78-72. Then the third-ranked Zags downed Arizona 91-74. And Lipscomb has its first ever win over a top 25 team, beating number 18 TCU in Fort Worth, Moose. In
what?
Fort Worth, Moose. 73-64. We're almost there.
It was a nice transition.
I tried.
You almost got it home.
Where's Taz? Some baseball news. Jim Hickey has resigned after one season.
Well, to Orlando, he's right here.
As the Cubs pitching coach, citing personal reasons, and the Miami Marlins designating utility man Derek Dietrich for assignment. Teams had to get their 40-man rosters in order yesterday ahead of next month's Rule 5 draft. Best regards. I'm Andrew.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So let's head out to Richmond, Virginia. It's Chris at CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Chris?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing well, Chris. How are you, bud?
Doing pretty good. And I know this is far-fetched, but 3 through 8 all play a game this week that they could lose, and it would not be a shocker. If that happens, does UCF make the playoffs?
Well, if they all lose.
I know that, and I know that's far-fetched, but all of them play a team that they could lose, and it would not be a shocker.
I don't even know if they all lost the rest of the way in through conference championship games and whatnot. I just I don't know.
Let's just go one game at a time.
Okay.
You think USC is going to beat Notre Dame?
I mean, there's a chance, right? I mean, it's that.
Well, anything can happen. If everybody loses, yes, UCF has got an opportunity to get it. But realistically speaking, you think Georgia's going to lose to Georgia Tech?
No, I'm sorry. I apologize on that one. I was talking about Alabama beating Georgia and knocking them out, basically.
Oh, I got you. But you mentioned 3 through 8, everybody losing. So yeah. That's why I threw that in.
Michigan
could lose to Ohio State. That's fair.
Right, but then Ohio State would go ahead of UCF.
Correct. That's the problem you have.
Yeah.
The issue you have for Central Florida is there's too much work to do in too little time. You could, if Central Florida was sitting at 6 on this Wednesday morning, you could probably find a path for them to get in. The fact that they're sitting at 9, if Washington should be Washington State, I'd rather see UCF than LSU. And I think if it came down to that debate, I think UCF would end up getting in. You got Oklahoma, Georgia, and Michigan. Notre Dame's not losing to USC. No, they're just not. I'd be
number 4 then.
If
it's Notre Dame, if it's Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and then UCF, if the other way plays out.
If the other way plays out, you would need Ohio State to beat Michigan, but then Ohio State then would move ahead of Michigan, ahead of Central Florida to play the point that Andrew just made.
And I would think West Virginia would get a huge boost from beating Oklahoma.
Correct.
Which is what would happen in this scenario too. I just don't think it's possible, either from a math perspective, like moving the winners forward, and just from a respect standpoint, I just don't think there could be that much destruction around them that they would end up with one of the two theoretically now open spots.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. Have yourself a good Thanksgiving. We've been teasing it all morning long. It's time for a special Thanksgiving edition of BCS.
It's now time to bench, cut, or start with Taz and the Moose.
Bench, cut, start.
So there's a lot of ways you can go. I mean, favorite side dish, you want to go mashed potatoes, stuffing,
mashed potatoes. Back to you, Moose.
You could even go, type of turkey, fried turkey, roasted, smoked. I mean, there's a number of different ways that you could go. Favorite hors d'oeuvre, favorite drink, whatever it might be. What we are going to get down to is what we are all about in our society, capitalism. That is what our society is all about, money, green, everything. You can go shopping on Thanksgiving. Everything used to be closed. No more.
Nope.
The sooner you can open up those stores, the better.
How soon can people you get here? We'll open the doors.
Exactly.
Here comes the money.
So here we go. A special Thanksgiving edition of BCS. It's going to be, when do you go shopping? Thanksgiving late night, Black Friday, or Cyber Monday? Late night Thanksgiving. You have the turkey, the dessert, the food. You get through the coma. Then you head out and you buy some electronics. Or is it Black Friday, or is it Cyber Monday? Bogus, you want to lead the way?
I would, and I refuse to go in order here. I know it's BCS, but
all
I need to go logically here with starting. I'm going to start Cyber Monday, most significantly because I'm lazy, and Cyber Monday involves me not leaving my house.
Okay, so you're going to start Cyber Monday.
For a number of reasons. The more significant one on top, above my laziness, is that I would really like to cut the next two things because I think they're both ridiculous. Assuming, again, that
one's more ridiculous than the other.
Yeah, I mean, Thursday night, Thanksgiving night can't happen, so that one has to get cut. So by default, then, I'm benching Black Friday. But I still think Black Friday, especially if your Black Friday begins at like 4 a.m. outside of a Walmart, because you've been online since 11 o'clock the night before. So they really kind of blend into each other, which is why I ate them both. You got to get
that new 27-inch TV.
I think all of those things are a shame on everyone involved. I try not to be judgmental, but I end up being often judgmental, never more so than from Thursday night into Friday morning. You should not be outside a Best Buy or a Costco or anything. You should be at home, asleep, watching
all great
a
movie, establishments.
Watching all great brands on any other day, not Thanksgiving night into Friday morning. You can't do it. Take a break, people. It's going to be okay. There's going to be other sales. There shouldn't be sales in the first place. Let the workers go home. Keep the stores closed. Let's all reconvene Saturday morning and go from there.
So you're benching?
Benching Friday, Black Friday by default.
Cutting
Thanksgiving night.
And starting
Cyber Monday.
All
right. Exactly.
Bench cut start. So I am going to, bench Cyber Monday.
Oh, I mean, come on.
Now, the reason why I'm going to bench Cyber Monday, because they make it a little difficult. First of all,
they make it difficult. You don't have to go anywhere.
Can I? What are you, Taz, all of a sudden? Can I get a word out here before you start interrupting me?
What's up, Kettle?
Anyway, I'm going to bench Cyber Monday. And the reason why I'm going to bench Cyber Monday, because you have to weigh through all these different websites, and some of these websites have special codes in order to unlock what you need to get and the special deals that they're offering on Cyber Monday.
They can be time sensitive, you're right.
Plus, you could also, not just time sensitive, there could be limited stock.
Oh.
So that's the other issue you have as well. I am going to bench Cyber Monday. Now, I'm going to cut Thanksgiving night. Listen, Thanksgiving, we are all Americans. It should be about food, family, and football. Not heading out to get the latest and greatest drone or TV or iPad or whatever it might be. It should not be about shopping. I do not want to, in the Malusa's household, there will never be a day where we finish up the meal, we hop in the car, and I'm heading to a store to go buy stuff. No, it's Thanksgiving. I want to sit back, relax, enjoy. I want to fall asleep on the couch and get poked by my kids.
It's also going to be like 9 degrees here in the Northeast Thursday to Friday. So if you're out, if you're getting frostbite, so you can pay $17 less for a new TV, then you deserve the frostbite.
So that means I'm going to start Black Friday. It's a tradition, whether you like it or not. And this year, I actually get to enjoy the tradition for the first time in a long time because I usually work the day after Thanksgiving. I'm usually on the air 6 a.m. Not this year. I'm actually off this year for the first time, selfishly for me thinking about it, I can actually enjoy Black Friday. So that's why I'm going to start Black Friday. So I am going to bench Cyber Monday. I'm cutting Thanksgiving night, and I'm starting Black Friday. Tommy, what do you got?
All right, I'm with you guys on the cutting Thanksgiving late night. You're sick in the head if you're going out after your Thanksgiving meal. Who has the energy to do it? And also, you're making people go to work. If you're going out, that means it's your fault that there are people that have to go to work on Thanksgiving evening. Walmart or Best Buy or whatever.
Anywhere. It doesn't matter. If you're open, there's something wrong. I don't want to have to go to work at a retail store on Thanksgiving.
Now, Black Friday is a terrifying mess. That's a bench. No way I'm getting involved in that. Cyber Monday is my speed. I don't have to interact with anybody.
Yep.
Nice.
And I got an amazing deal on my television last year on Cyber Monday, and I am in love with this TV. So start Cyber Monday, bench Black Friday, cut Thanksgiving late night.
Just curious, how much off of the TV did you get?
Like almost $400.
Whoa! Yeah.
See?
Oh, there you go. Very nice. Well done. All right, Pete, what do you got?
I agree with Bogish and with Tom. There is no chance in hell I'm going to be out in the cold on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is reserved, as you said, Moose, to being fat, to enjoying food,
yes,
being with the family. Benching Black Friday, so I'm going to bench Black Friday. I'm going to cut Thanksgiving late night, and I'm starting Cyber Monday. That's the best time. That's usually the time I always shop.
I get it. And the everything comes to you. The product comes to you. You order it. Sometimes you have to pick it up at the store if it's like a ginormous team. But for the most part, and that's the easiest way to do it. You just sit at your computer and you start clicking off. You know, as my wife would say, you burn the strip.
I don't know what that means, but sure. Credit card. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
I didn't. I never heard that one before.
You never heard that?
No. Never. Ever. Ever.
My wife, she lives by it. 855-212-4227. 855-212. And I only say that because I know she's not listening right now.
Mark, are you working tonight?
Yeah.
I'm not, actually. Why do you seem disappointed? Oh, I just, you know, wanted to shop again.
We've got...
They don't need you at SNY. There's not a sports night hit you could do, no.
Listen, I'm going to start washing cars. We got NFL picks coming your way next. It's Taz Moose, Bogus in the house. We want to hear your BCS. Bench cut start, a special Thanksgiving edition. Are you? What are you shopping? Cyber Monday, Black Friday, Thanksgiving night. Bench cut start. Hit us up, Taz of the Moose, on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure to do that. Picks next.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Food, family, and fantastic football. It's a legendary rivalry between the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions. The tradition continues Thanksgiving Day with coverage beginning at noon Eastern, only on CBS. So we want to get your bench cut starts. We did a Thanksgiving edition. Not with the turkey, not with the fixings, not with the sides, the hors d'oeuvres, or drinks. It's really, when do you go shopping? Cyber Monday, Black Friday, Thanksgiving night, a little BCS. You heard ours. Want to hear from you at 855-212-4227. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz and the Moose as well. You heard our college picks. Let's get to some NFL selections.
The Taz and Moose picks are for fun only. This is not for gambling purposes, just some chuckles and a good time. Enjoy the Taz and Moose picks now. Listen irresponsibly.
It's now time for the Taz and Moose NFL picks. The three picks you need to know.
All right, where are we sitting at, Tommy?
Taz is coming off a 3-0 week.
There you
go. He's had a very impressive 18-12-3 for the year so far. Moose 1-2 last week at 15-17-1.
15-17-1. Got a rally here. All right, pick number one for me. We're going to go to Thanksgiving. I've liked it all week long. I'm not going to back it off of it. The spread scares me a little bit. But after the Cowboys' victory over the Falcons, and even if Smith was healthy for the Redskins, I thought Washington's heading into a very, very difficult spot. Now it's a lot of points. It's a touchdown and the hook. And I could see the Cowboys win this game by a score. However, the frustration from the last time you saw these two teams where the Redskins were able to win at the point of attack, I don't think they can anymore with the injuries along the offensive line, even with the return of Trent Williams. The way that they pushed around Dallas down in our nation's capital, I don't think they could do that tomorrow afternoon down in Big D. Colt McCoy now at quarterback. The Cowboys are playing with some confidence, and they've got a second life. They come back home. Last time we saw them at home, they were losing to the Tennessee Titans. I think you're going to get a very spirited performance by the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow. I'm going to lay the 7.5. Not exactly the number I wanted, but it's still the number nonetheless. Give me the Cowboys laying 7.5. That's pick one for me. What says you, Taz?
All right. We got ourselves a battle at 1 p.m., a battle of Ohio. The Bengals are hosting the Browns. The Bengals are -3. I'm telling you right now, the Bengals are going to be so happy at the end of this game because they're going to thank their assistant coach to the head coach, and that's Hugh Jackson, the former Browns coach, who knows the Browns team inside and out, backwards and forward, including Baker Mayfield. And it's going to help the Bengals. The Bengals will cover. The Bengals will win this game at home by 10. Give me Cincinnati. Strongly.
All right, there you go. What do you say, Andrew?
Moose, here we go again. Teased it this hour, late last hour. Bird theme picks continue with the Atlanta Falcons. Getting 13 tomorrow night.
You're taking
night.
The Falcons I'm plus not... the points?
Hey, Taz! Stop interrupting.
Well,
they're getting 13.
You said
13.
You have to pick the team.
It ain't enough. Saints. -13.
See, but it doesn't
really
hold on a second.
Now, bird themed games. Bird themed games.
But no, it means you have to pick teams.
No, because listen, it's enough.
You didn't pick the
games.
Team with the. You didn't pick the Falcons. You picked the Saints.
It is good enough that I found games involving birds. The next step of always picking the bird, that's asking too much of me. At some point, logic needs to prevail here, Moose. And the Falcons are not staying close to the Saints tomorrow night. New Orleans, -13. Back to you.
All right, we're going to go to 1 o'clock on Sunday. It doesn't matter if you believe it, I believe it, Tom or Pete. The Giants believe they've got an opportunity here in the NFC East. And the next team up is the Philadelphia Eagles. I think it's too close of a game. When I'm getting 7 points with the Giants on the road against the Philly team that has had A, issues closing teams out, B, moving the football consistently, C, not turning the football over, and the Giants are playing with a lot of confidence right now. Now, you can look at who the Giants beat. They didn't beat anybody. Tampa Bay is a dreadful defense. It's a too big of a spread in a rivalry game where I don't trust the Eagles. And I think the Giants have found themselves a little bit. Give me the Giants plus the touchdown on the road in Philadelphia. That's pick number two for me. What says you, Taz?
Atlanta Falcons, Dirty Bird Jones. The Dirty Birds, they go down to New Orleans to play the Saints, the dominant Saints. The Saints are home, and they are minus 13. Don't sweat it. The dual running back monster of Kamara and Ingram will run amok on the Falcons, as will the Drew Brees. I'm telling you right now, the Saints are going to win this game by 20 points. They will cover. Give me the Saints all day long, jobbers.
All right, there you go. That's pick two. Bogus.
The trend continues, Moose. It's the Eagles. It's the Giants.
Oh.
It's not the Eagles.
You're taking the Giants plus the points.
I'm taking the Giants and the points as well.
We're in
here.
Agreement.
I am all in on Big Blue winning out and stealing the NFC East.
All right, Big Blue winning out, stealing the NFC East. Now, that is pick three for me. We're going to go to Los Angeles. It's a big dog. I'm going to take the Chargers. I'm going to lay the 13.5. I think Los Angeles, after their meltdown this past week, a game they should never have lost against Denver, and Rivers lost his mind late in that game. He takes a sack, doesn't throw the ball away, 40 seconds run off the clock. The Denver Broncos, in all likelihood, are not winning that game, getting a game-winning field goal. He throws it away. All of a sudden, they're punting the ball back. They get it with 1:51 to go at their own 8-yard line, and you get a little Case Keenum magic late. I think it's a ticked-off Charger team. I just watched Arizona lose at home to Oakland. All right, so if I watch Arizona lose at home to Oakland, now they go on the road. Not really a home field advantage for Los Angeles, but they are home. Give me the Chargers. It's a big number. I get it. But they've shown you the penchant to beat up on bad teams and run it up. I'm going to take the Chargers. I'll lay the 13.5. That's pick number three for me. Taz, what says you?
Sunday action. We got the Seahawks going down to Carolina to play the Panthers. The Panthers are minus 3.5. I like the Seahawks to win immensely in this game. Even though they're on the road, something about it, something tells me, something smells right to me that the Seahawks will dominate the Panthers in Carolina. I'm a believer in Russell Wilson. I am a believer in the Seahawks in this contest. They will beat the Panthers by 7.
All right, there you go. Very nice. He likes the Seahawks. Pick three for you, Bogish.
Moose, as you know well, they're known as the birds of the sea, the dolphins, the Miami Dolphins specifically here.
Of course. That's not what I think of a dolphin. But not, the bird of the sea.
Not picking them either, though. I'm all in on the Colts right now. Andrew Luck is locked in.
Might be an MVP candidate.
Was it 7 straight games of multiple touchdown passes? The Colts are laying 8. I don't care that Tannehill is back. I'm taking the Colts. I'm giving the points.
All right, so you're going to take Indianapolis laying the 10, right?
Oh, I had it as 8. 10 seems 8. Like a lot, but you know what? Let's keep it going. It doesn't matter. You're not keeping track of my picks.
It says here on my site, but, I mean, maybe it's just 8. All right. What are your three selections?
Good question. Indy minus whatever points you want to go with.
We'll go 8.
Because it doesn't matter.
Just for you.
That's what I picked today. The Saints minus 13, the Giants plus 6.
All right, so I have... Okay, you have the Giants 6. I have it 7. Why do I have it 7 then? I'll take the Giants. My picks are Giants plus the 6, Chargers laying the 13.5, and my third and final pick was the Cowboys laying 7.5. So there are your Week 12 NFL selections. Amazingly enough, 2 hours are gone. We've got 1 hour to go. Take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. Amy Trask will join us. We've got the three coming your way next. It's Bogish. It's Melusis. Andrew in for the vacationing Taz. It's Taz the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.